genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it. How do we live and work here in Ventura? If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008, or if you're out of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. You'll want to keep that number handy because we have two sandwiches to give away in the hour today, and we'll be giving those away shortly. Every show has a theme. Of course, today is Fun Friday. Our theme for Fun Friday is improving. Both of my guests are going to help us improve on aspects in our lives. My first guest is a financial guru who's going to help us improve our financial lives by making sense of what's going on in the markets and in the economy. He'll also give us some guidance for investments in the fourth quarter of 2010. My second guest is a memory expert, and he will help us improve our memories so that we can remember people's names when we go into those holiday parties during this holiday season. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My regular listeners know Ken Winans is insightful and a profitable financial advisor. He has a successful investment management company. He's an award-winning author, a philanthropist, a renowned collector. He's president of Winans International, an investment company and fund manager. He's also a regular guest on various TV shows and radio shows, including KNX down in Los Angeles. Ken is a business historian as well as a financial guru. He got his bachelor's degree in business economics from the University of San Diego. He got his master's in finance from the University of San Francisco. He and his wife, Debbie, are longtime residents of the San Francisco Bay Area, and in his spare time, can ski races in the U.S. Ski Association's master's program. Welcome to the show, Ken. How are you doing today?
Hey, Bill. You know what? I haven't been able to do a whole lot of ski racing lately. I've been too darn busy trying to deal with this crazy economy of ours.
Well, there you go. Certain things do keep you preoccupied. That's true.
You're not kidding.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Well, it's timely that we have you on today, Ken, because yesterday was the end of the third quarter. Mm-hmm. And what a third quarter it was, too. I mean, stocks for the quarter were up 11%. September was the best September on record since 1939. That's 71 years ago. So from your perspective, go ahead and rate the first three quarters of 2010. How do they stack up?
First quarter, good. Second quarter, awful. Third quarter, good. And I hope that trend does not continue.
Boy, so do we all. That is true. Now, it's interesting.
But, hey, let me say this. You know, I love to give analogies to rock and roll songs. I know Spencel always loves this. You guys remember the song by Meatloaf, All Revved Up with No Place to Go? That's
yes.
The way the equity markets are reminding me this year. You get all pumped up. I mean, the analysts tell you, oh, look, we're accelerating. The economy's taking off. And poof, the markets do nothing. It is, even after all that's happened, it has been, you look at the year-to-date results, and it's at best we can call it pitiful.
Pitiful. Well, now, year-to-date, not looking at up 11% in just the third quarter, but if you look across the first three quarters, the first 9 months, what are the markets doing?
Well, let's go to, you know, and by the way, you and I know there's a gazillion indices out there, but just everybody likes to talk about the S&P 500. Okay, as of the end of September, it was up a whopping 2.2%.
2.2%.
You know, so by any stretch of the imagination, we're probably lucky that the thing's not down 15%, considering all the bad news that have been coming on. Now, if you were to ask me what is the best performing index, if you're looking at just common stocks, well, the S&P 400, which has always been a darling of investors, was actually up 9.5%. It outperformed the NASDAQ, the Dow, the S&P, all of them, even the Russell 2000. So that has been a real good thing. The other thing I was going to say, I get out and probably jump, Billy, I'm jumping ahead here and I apologize. You know, a lot of people thought they were going to find safe haven in the foreign markets.
Yes.
Well, guess what? There was no real great winners there either. I mean, just looking at anything from Australia, Canada, all the way to China. I mean, here you go. The China Exchange Traded Fund, which is our way to buy Chinese stocks, was up for the first 3 months of this year, a whopping 1.8%.
Only 1.8?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, all these areas that people thought were going to be these high-growth things, clearly the equity markets globally, I mean, there certainly have been some hot spots. I mean, India had a great run this year. You know, certainly a lot of people have been putting money there. But it's not across the board. It's not what most people like to try to buy into.
All right. Now, we're going to get into all asset classes, sort of do a third quarter wrap-up, but I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here. So overall, you're saying it's been a pretty lackluster year. And what do you think for the fourth quarter? What do you think we're going to see? More of the same?
You know, I think it's going to come down to how earnings look. You know, we talk a lot about the overall markets, but one thing that is loud and clear is that you had some stocks that if they did a really good job managing their earnings this year, they did very well. But, boy, there's a lot of damage out there. I mean, I look at my screen. You either have some real nice green or you got some red. And, you know, unfortunately, the companies that missed their numbers in October, I think it's going to be ugly. They're going to get hammered hard and fast without any hesitation or remorse. So it is. I think it's going to be a very volatile earnings season. Now, if the earnings season ends up being okay, we could see a fairly powerful rally going into the end of the year. But I think if you continue to have this mixed economic data, mixed earnings, I think a lot of the same will continue. And that's including with the fact we have the election coming up. Because right now, everybody is predicting that the Republicans will take at least one House of Congress and we'll have gridlock back in Washington. But what if that doesn't happen?
Well, that will be interesting, and we'll talk about the upcoming elections because they do have a big financial impact. In fact, Washington has become more and more involved in the financial markets. But we'll come back to that in just a second, Ken. We're talking to Ken Winans, everybody. And I want to go back to something that we started in January of this year, and I just want to get an update from you on this. In January, we did what I call a quick fire, and I asked you the question, which is going to come first, Dow 9,000 or unemployment 9%. So today, national unemployment is sitting just under 10%, and the Dow is sitting at 10,800. So I'll ask again, which will come first, Dow 9,000 or unemployment at 9%?
You know, it's believe it or not, a very tough question. I could make a case for either direction. I still think, though, that the unemployment is going to stay chronically high for a long time like it did in the 70s, which means we'll have a sideways market. So I think Dow 9,000 has a higher probability of happening first.
Dow 9,000. All right, we'll come back and we'll revisit that every single time you're on the show. But let's break it down now for people who are listening who are really interested in the financial markets. There are a bunch of asset classes out there, a lot of different things that you can put your money into, trying to find a little bit better return than you can get in the bank or stuffing it in your mattress. The first asset class, we touched on this briefly, but I want to dive into it with head first if we can. Common stocks. All right, the Dow is the most well-known of the indices that are out there. And at the beginning of the quarter, the Dow sat at 9,689. At the end of the quarter, it had worked its way up to 10,836. In fact, we've been trading in that range for all of 2010. So let's break it down. The Dow stocks that are out there, what do you see happening in this asset class in the first three quarters, and what do you predict for the fourth?
Well, it's interesting when you look at the Dow. Now, the Dow are 30 companies there, you know, that are all over the place. They're banks, they're retailers, they're tech companies. And if you believe it or not, if you were to ask me, and actually I'll throw it out to you guys, which Dow, what do you think are the three top performing Dow stocks so far this year?
The three top performing Dow stocks? Well, if we'd gone into it, I would say they would be the financial sector. So I'd say they were banks of some kind, probably Citi would be included in that, and if not the best performing, at least it's one of the most volatile.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Citi, probably not the consumer staples, things like Procter & Gamble, so I'm going to put that at the bottom of the heap. And I'm going to go all financial. I'm all in for financials, the banks.
And I'm sorry you've lost. No, I'm just kidding. actually, Bill, believe it or not, okay, Spence, any thoughts on your end?
Spence, 3M.
3M?
Oh, you said ask for three.
Pilgrim, you lost that one, too. Okay, here you guys go.
Who are they?
Caterpillar.
Cat.
Is the number one best-performing Dow stock this year, followed very closely behind by, believe it or not, DuPont.
Hmm. Now, that's okay, very interesting.
Now, very basically neck and neck would be Boeing and McDonald's.
Boeing and McDonald's, three and four.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
I mean, just neck and neck. So think about this. No financials. In fact, the financials are doing terrible. I mean, the banks are down. I believe there's wisdom in the market. We'll talk about that in a moment. You don't have the telecommunication guys. And think about it. No tech.
No tech. Yes, I know. I avoided that.
Unbelievable. But no, that's the way it's playing out this year. So this has been a very strange year.
Yeah. Well, now, what does that tell us? Because this is just a data point on the roadmap of financial understanding. However, if I looked at what you've just told me, Caterpillar number one, DuPont number two, Boeing number three, and we'll kick out Mickey D's because we know everybody's got to eat. Cat, DuPont, and Boeing are very, very heavy industrial. Mm-hmm. So it indicates to me actually good news for the future. If the stock market is forward-looking and people are investing in tractors, plows, and all of that heavy equipment, jet airplanes, DuPont makes all sorts of industrial chemicals, mm-hmm. it seems to me, based on this one data point, that the economy is starting to turn around. We're seeing a push in manufacturing. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, partly. The other part of it is the fact that the dollar has been going down, which gives these companies a temporarily good price-competitive stance. Especially when they're dealing with China. If you have the dollar going down versus the euro, it's cheaper for the Chinese manufacturer, or the Chinese companies, or the Chinese consumer, should I say, to buy Caterpillar tractors and Boeing aircraft.
Ah.
Certainly chemicals from DuPont. So the dollar, which I know you want to talk about, you always do.
I do.
Is playing a role on which companies are doing well right now. This is what's interesting, though, with what you just said. You know, we often forget about, and we often hear about, how bad our manufacturing base is in this country. The irony of it is that here we just talked about three major manufacturers, including DuPont, which to me, it manufactures chemicals, but still a manufacturer. These seem to be drivers in our economy right now. So it will be interesting to see if that continues. But I agree with you. You need to have these areas of export picking up in order for us to move out of this economic malaise.
It has been a wacky 2010 so far through the first three quarters. We're talking to Ken Winans, everybody, doing a recap of the first three quarters. Ken, we're going to have to pause to do some break for some commercials here. But when we come back, I want to pick it up with common stocks, and then I want to move into another asset class with which you're very familiar, that is preferred stocks. So we'll get into that after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What? Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, and we are truly brainstorming today with Ken Winans, who has given us some financial advice as we close out the third quarter of 2010, moving into the fourth quarter. Before we get back to Ken and we pick up our conversation where we left off, I told you to keep the telephone number handy because we were going to have some sandwich giveaways, and now's the time. We have a free sandwich or a free salad from Urbane Cafe, their new location down at Oxnard. It's located at 1750 East Gonzales Road. That's the intersection of Rose and Gonzales in Oxnard. And this coupon will get you a free sandwich or a free salad. And that's perfect timing because it's just now time for lunch and nothing could be better. Remember that Urbane Cafe was voted the best sandwich in Ventura County 3 years in a row by the VC Reporter, 2008, 2009, and 2010. I'll give away this coupon to the third caller at 639-0008, 639-0008. Now, Ken, back to you. I mean, the time is flying by here. We're talking about asset class. We're still in the common stock area. We can talk about the S&P. You mentioned that it's up a meager 2% this year. But I want to touch on something that many people don't know. Even though the S&P and the Dow show slight improvements for the quarter, slight improvements for the year, the reality is that that only tells part of the story. Within their small moves, there has been great volatility this year, up and down and up and down. We've dipped below 10,000 on the Dow. We're up at 10,008 right now. So within that, there's a lot of volatility. Volatility is something that traders thrive on. So tell us a little bit about volatility and how it's measured. The index there is the VIX. And the VIX shows that volatility dropped in July, shot up again in August, and was relatively flat in September. What does that mean to the average person who might own a retirement fund?
All right. Well, I like to use analogies, and the best way I can describe it is the volatility is a bit like a tug of war. You have the bulls and the bears going at it. The bulls thinking, well, the market's going to accelerate, and we're going to break out of this and have a new bull market. So they pull it one way. When you get the economic moves, they begin to move it, and so you have that. Then you have bad economic news, and then you have bad earnings, and then it begins to go back the other way. So the volatility is how fast and how much that tug-of-war goes on, and this year has been an absolutely bloody slugfight. If you go and look at the performance of most mutual funds, they've either done fairly well or they've gotten bludgeoned hard. It's just been that kind of year, and even the pros are having problems figuring out what to do with this thing.
It has been kind of a mess. Now, how do you play the volatility? If you're an investor and you've got one of those mutual funds, you probably don't worry too much about the volatility. You look at your statement at the end of each month, you see whether you're up or down for the particular month. But if you are an investor, how do they play the volatility? How does that actually help them to manage their investments?
Well, key thing, and it's almost a contradiction in terms, investor and play with volatility. What do you want to? If you want to do well in this market, you've got to be very, very good at investment selection, whether it's picking mutual funds or picking individual stocks or bonds. And you want to be disciplined. Don't chase. There's a whole bunch of people who chase this thing in March, and are right now they're still down 20-22% on the year because they ended up just getting absolutely hammered because the market corrected. So investors want to maintain discipline. The other thing too, it's a bit. You guys remember the old game Twister?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah?
Well, a lot of people started out the year, they had a game plan, and all of a sudden they have their hand going on the red and the other hand going on the blue, and they look at where they were at the end of the score. Wait a minute, this is not what I originally planned on doing. They were all twisted up because they were getting caught up with short-term moves. Almost the best thing to do is try, when you have the markets being this volatile and this sideways, broaden your perspective. Try to look at what went on from September 9 to September 10, and certainly begin to look at what's going on. You want to back away from it and look at the broader perspective and separate the forest from the trees.
All right, so take it a year at a time, look at the block of the year. That will give you a much more stable view of what you're looking at.
Well, and the number one thing, Bill, it's if you're going to trade, fine, you have a very short window, but for investors to suddenly shorten their window and try to trade, boy, rarely do I find anybody who comes out on the winning end of that combination.
Good advice. We're talking to Ken Winans, everybody. Now I want to move into an asset class in which you're an absolute expert, and many people don't know about it. So I'm going to have you define what the asset class is, help us understand why it has been such a solid performer this year. And the asset class that I'm talking about is preferred stocks, completely different from common stocks, and have outperformed common stocks this year. What are they? Why should we be thinking about them?
Well, it's actually apropos that here we are on what's supposed to be the ending date of the TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program the government started in 2008. Because if we remember, the government actually made investments into banks. Well, what many people don't know is the choice of the investment that the government made were to buy preferred stock in these major banks. And what is a preferred stock? A lot of people get confused with it. The best thing I would tell you to do is take the word stock out of it and just call them preferreds. They're very unique. They're different than common stocks. They're different from bonds. But they're primarily primarily an income-producing vehicle. They produce very, very high levels of income that the corporations have to honor or else the other shareholders have trouble too. But they are a special type of investment within a corporation. Believe it or not, this year, the Winans International Preferred Stock Index, which is one of the leading benchmarks in this asset class, is actually up without dividends. The price is up 22% this year.
All right, 22% compared to 2% for the major indices, the S&P.
But hey, it's even better than that. They're the people who bought these preferreds at the beginning of the year are probably looking at total dividends of around 8 to 8.5% between now and the end of the year.
8.5% dividend on top of 22%
yes.
Asset growth. Now, let me ask you a question, and we should qualify this for listeners who are saying, wow, 8.5% dividend, that's pretty cool. Some of those dividends are artificially high. They were pumped up because the stocks have been slammed down so hard that it makes the dividend appear bigger than it was because the base, the price of the stock, is actually lower than it should be. Is that a fair statement to make?
It is a fair statement, but at the same time, now they were. If you want to go back to fourth quarter 2008, you know, Warren Buffett. Here's a good example. Warren Buffett bought preferred stock in GE and Goldman Sachs October 2008. He locked himself up forever a 10% dividend. Forever.
Well, forever. That's why he is the wealthiest man in the world
there. But hey, just to give you an idea, if you went out right now, the dividend yield right now on the Winans International Preferred Stock Index, also known as the WIPSI, I didn't just design it, but that's what people call it, it is still today yielding over a 7% dividend. But remember, typically, preferred stocks, you make your money on the dividend. It's very strange to have the price moving as much as it is, but they are in such demand right now by investors, that's what's driving the price up.
Ah, that's incredible. We're talking to Ken Winans, everybody, and we're running down the various asset classes. Here we are at the end of the third quarter, kind of giving a scorecard, a report card, if you will, of how things go. Now, I'm going to change to an asset class that I know you're a little bit bearish on, but it's one that's near and dear to almost everybody's heart because many of us that are listening to the sound of our voices own a home, and that is real estate.
Sure.
This is an underreported story about the housing market. Why is the mainstream media missing about the housing market, and why is it such a dog this year?
Well, I'm putting out another press release, and when I say press release, you'll be able to pick these up on Yahoo Finance later on today and over the weekend, and because I also have a real estate index called the Winans International Real Estate Index, which the title of this is Major Real Estate Index Post New Low. Basically, unfortunately, the slight price reprieve we had in housing, and by the way, I'm talking nationwide. I'm not talking about a block of houses. I'm talking about across the country what's going on. We basically set a new low on our real estate index at 226,900, 225,100 versus 226,900 January 2009. So unfortunately, housing prices continue to be soft, and in many cases are softening as we have more and more of the foreclosures hitting the market.
Ouch. Not good news to hear for anybody who owns a house here in Ventura County or anywhere within the sound of our voice. Well, Ken, we're slowly running out of time here, but I want to ask you for an update. You've got a new fund out there, the Winans Long Short Fund. The ticker symbol on that is an ETF. It's ETF-MX. Give us an update, because last time we talked to you, you were slightly down for the year. Where is now the ETF-MX stand?
Well, the ETFMX, I talked about getting bloodied this year. We certainly got bloodied with that particular fund. You know, by the way, Winans International is many things. We manage individual portfolios. We manage, you know, we have some money in our mutual fund. But the ETFMX, because it had been trying to short the market this year, it actually ended the quarter, I believe it ended it down about 12%.
Down 12% because you were shorting the market. Okay.
I'll tell you what. Remember the little flash crash we had?
Yes.
Okay, one of the things we were trying to do with the ETFMX was to use the inverse ETFs. In other words, where you can have the inverse of the S&P 500, the inverse of the Dow, the inverse of the S&P 500. That clearly was a mistake on our part to try to use those things. These new ETFs require a lot of thinking on how to use them. We fixed the problems that we had with them. We had to basically redesign our policies on how to use them, but a lot of our loss came from using these inverse ETFs. So I caution anybody out there, if I'm having problems with these things, you need to think twice about using them yourself.
Sound advice.
They are not without problems.
Sound advice. And we could do a whole show just on ETFs alone, so we'll probably get back into that at some point in the future, Ken. But
sure. As
I mentioned earlier, politics and business are so interlinked now, with the government investing in certain companies and government-owned and sponsored automakers, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, politics is going to influence the markets. In the 2 minutes that we've got left, give us your prediction about the midterm elections, how it's going to affect the Senate, the House, and the governorships. And then, is all of this information baked into the market, or how is this going to play out?
Okay. Very quick, I actually think there will be, and I am hoping for, gridlock back in government. We seem to function better when there is gridlock and neither party can wander too far off the reservation on spending. So I'm hoping for that. And it appears that we're going to have that, and the market has priced that in. I actually believe that's one of the big reasons we had such a powerful September. The focus on my mind is what's going to happen to the Bush tax cuts. I can tell you, I've looked at it over a long period of time. If we have this massive tax increase, it is going to hurt us as far as coming out of this economic malaise. I firmly believe that, but I'm a monetarist, so of course I'm going to believe that. So the stakes are high, guys.
And absolutely they are. Now, what happens, and real quickly, I'll be contrarian, what happens if it doesn't play out, the Democrats do win, we do not have gridlock?
Oh, I think that I would be continue to be very skeptical of any kind of rally in this market. And let me just throw it this way. Go back and look at what the stock market did from 1965 to 1982. You had the guns and butter spending of the Vietnam War and Johnson's big spending programs, and then we all finally remember Jimmy Carter. If we maintain that kind of big government thinking, I think you can expect the markets to react the same way. And I think that housing will continue to have problems. So, unfortunately, the stakes are very high.
Well, Ken, the time just flies by. I want to thank you for your insight. I want to thank you for this third quarter wrap-up. We've been talking to Ken Winans, everybody. Ken, if people like what they hear, they like the sound of your voice, they want to learn more, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
You know, I go to my major website, which is Ken Winans, WINANS.com, and we'll talk later about it, but I also have a new book coming out on preferred stocks later in this month. So, but that all that information can be found on the website about the company, the books, and all the rest of it.
WinansINTL.com is that website.
No, it's KenWinans.com.
I beg your pardon, KenWinans.com, KenWinans.com. Ken, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. Love having you on the show. We'll have you back at the end of the fourth quarter. We can wrap up the year and look ahead to hopefully what should be a better 2011.
Sounds good, guys.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks so much.